to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
Hey, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Polka Drive Time. Pennsylvania, Tama Shannard, doubleheader. Face off the hockey show from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. And, of course, a Drive Time, driven by the low payment king from 5 to 6 o'clock. You know, we had Brian Buckey on yesterday, Toledo Blade, a beat writer for the University of Toledo Rockets, football and basketball. How about the Rockets? They win again. They lead the MAC, by the way. Western Michigan went down yesterday. Rockets win 91-57 at OU. So the University of Toledo Rockets first place in the division. BG wins as well. Of course, we're leading up to the championship weekend here in the National Football League. The winners go on to the Super Bowl. At 5:15 tonight, Mike Lowe will join us. He's been covering the Patriots for, geez, I don't know, I got to say 30 years. Mike Lowe will join us again at about 5:15 tonight, talking Patriots, Jacksonville. It might even touch on the Minnesota Vikings and that Philadelphia Eagles game as well. Patriots in that game are a 9-point favorite. Minnesota on the road, and a chance to play the Super Bowl at home. That's never happened again. They are a 3-point favorite on the road in Philadelphia. Mike Lowe will touch on all of that. And, of course, you know, Matt Patricia, the new head coach of the Detroit Lions, 95% sure that's going to happen. Talk about him as well. And, you know, the attributes and his DNA, a little bit on the new Lions coach coming up at 5:15. 5:35 tonight, Matt Markey will join us. You know, this deer call situation in the Metro Park is really, you know, split right down the middle. Maybe a little bit more for the people that, you know, really understand the science of it. But I understand the other side of this, too. And Matt Markey wrote a good story, you know, as Matt always does, hearing both sides of it. And people saying, hey, there's other ways to do it. You know, one way is sterilization instead of a deer call, we say, you know, going out and shooting them at $1,000 a deer. But Matt put in his story, too, out on Staten Island, they wanted to sterilize a male deer. It cost him $2 million. So there's a money factor there as well. I will also talk about cold weather gear, ice fishing, of course, Lake Erie frozen over. And also the warm critters that want to try to get into your house this time of year as well. 6:15 tonight, Greg Krupa on Face Off the Hockey Show will join us. Greg's a beat writer for the Detroit News. He covers the Red Wings. You know, the Red Wings right now, the trade deadline is February the 26th in the National Hockey League. Red Wings have Carolina Saturday at 7 o'clock, home against the Devils next Monday. Home against the Flyers on Tuesday. More home games against Chicago and San Jose. You know, so the Red Wings are in the midst of a huge homestand here. And you got to wonder, really, what Ken Holland and his scouts and his lieutenants are thinking right now. Ryan Martin, who we have on this show a lot, they're out in Las Vegas with organizational meetings, talking about free agents, talking about the draft. So we might know more about that somewhere down the road, but Greg Krupa will join us at 6:15 tonight. The Walleye, and then we'll face off, the hockey show continues about 6:35 tonight. Andy Delmore, he is the assistant coach of the Toledo Walleye. Kind of a bizarre schedule for the Walleye this week. They play in Kansas City on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's almost like a baseball score, but, you know, the Walleye rolling right along. They had a big weekend, taking 3 out of 3. They're 24-10, 2-1 in the year. Second in the Western Conference, first in the Central Division. All right, everybody, right around the corner, Mike Lowe talking NFL football after this. This is Drive Time. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. The auto show specials continue. Visit Monroe Superstore. How about this one? Lease a 2018 Jeep Compass Latitude, $148 a month, 39-month lease. I want everybody to listen to me here just for a minute. I'll give you a prime example. This just popped in my head. I went to leave today for Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter in my mailbox, and my two neighbors' mailbox, kind of a, you go down to a common area there, all three taken out by the Postal Service folks. I went down to the post office, and they're going to replace them. But, it, you know, just kind of reminded me, and things happen. It's slippery. I travel a lot. You don't even want to know how many miles I put in a car on a year, but it's approaching almost 25,000 miles, sometimes over 25,000 miles that I put on in 1 year. I drive a Jeep. This time of the year when things are slippery, hey, there's no guarantees that, you know, every car is going to be perfect this time of the year in this weather. But if you're running around town here in this cold weather and slippery roads and your car is all over the place, you might have kids in the car going to school, you're nervous to drive, I'm telling you, get a Jeep. And there's so many affordable lease deals out there right now that it's unbelievable. Again, get up to see the Low Payment King at the Superstore. It just reconfirms, again, today, and the driving I did this week, four-wheel drive Jeep this time of the year. We live in a cold weather area. Go see the Low Payment King. Lease deals, absolutely incredible now. A lot of Jeeps. Mike Lowe, right around the corner, back with this after this timeout. This is Drive Time.
Sports. It's Drive Time on Toledo's Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Mike Miller, face off the hockey show, coming up here from Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter tonight at 6:05. Talking some Red Wings, talking some Walleye, learn to skate programs, all sorts of activities we'll be talking about at 6 o'clock tonight. Great crowds for the learn to play hockey programs as well. Ton of things going on here at Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter. That's coming up at 6:05. Greg Krupa will join us at 6:15. We're talking Red Wings. Trade deadline coming up in the NHL. Where are they going to go with this thing? They're in the midst of a huge homestand right now. Keep an eye on that. Andy Delmore will join us at 6:35 to walk Toledo Walleye there for in Kansas City for three consecutive games. Matt Markey at 3:35 tonight. And our first guest here on Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, is Mike Lowe of the Portland Press. Hello, Michael. How are you?
How you doing, Mike?
Very good. Hey, number one, thank you for taking the time. You know, I keep a little journal here, and I make notes every time I have somebody on. And the last time I had John, I wrote some very complimentary things about your coverage of the Patriots over the years. I know the newspaper doesn't quite give you that flexibility that they used to, but still wanted to have you on. And I guess the first thing, Mike, is tell me a little bit about Matt Patricia. More than likely now, I guess, he'll be the Lions head coach when New England finishes their season, either after this weekend or after the Super Bowl. Hey, we know the term. He's a rocket scientist. Can you weigh in some more on that?
Well, you know what? He is a pretty brilliant guy. You know, here's what I think the best thing about Matt Patricia is. He not only can do the X's and O's, but he relates to the players. You know, he makes sure that, you know, he takes the time to personally make sure every one of them knows what's expected of them in the defense, what's expected of them as a person and as a teammate. It's not just about with the Patriots, it's not just about how you perform as a player. It's how you perform as a teammate and as a player, as a person. And he's right in the middle of that. I mean, he takes the time to know all the guys, what they're doing, what they should be doing, how they should be doing it, and he's a great teacher. I mean, how many players I've talked to have said they've learned so much from playing under Matt Patricia because he takes the time to show them how things are supposed to be done.
Again, we're talking to Mike Lowe, and we are a member, of course, of the Detroit Lions Football Network. You know, I guess that's kind of turned into a common theme as Mike Lowe joins us here on Drive Time with teams. Mike Vrabel's a prime example, and there's numerous examples here of guys leaving the Patriots who do it better than anybody else. I guess it doesn't always equate to success, you know, it's become kind of a trend. Let's go get an offensive or a defensive coordinator or a line coach from the Patriots and give them a shot at things. And it's become a National Football League trend.
Well, you know, when you look at the success they've had, look, they're playing in their seventh straight conference championship game on Sunday. They won their division title 9 consecutive years. These are marks that no one has ever touched in NFL history. And there's a reason for that. It's because they get the right kind of people into their program, and then they learn together. They learn how to win together. I mean, this isn't somewhere some guy comes off the street and, you know, I know everything and I'm going to play well for you. Because there have been a lot of great players who have come in here and have not done well because they can't fit into the system. It's a system thing. I'm not going to lie. They learn how to win under Bill Belichick. They learn how to win with Tom Brady. They learn how to win with each other. And then they can take that to another franchise, another team, and kind of teach that way there. At some point, they'll catch up with the Patriots, and all their guys will be elsewhere, and they'll be beating them.
Well, you know, the other side of that, too, you mentioned the X's and O's in the New England system, the type of player you want. Sometimes, you know, culture changes in certain organizations do not come easy. You know, I was telling somebody in the show last night, Mike, but, you know, Jim Caldwell was well-respected among the players for the Detroit Lions, well-liked. I know a lot of players were disappointed when he went. Problem with that is they're 9-7. They go into Cincinnati this year, still alive in the playoffs. They get blown out. You know, I started wondering, is this a good cop, bad cop type situation? I don't think it is, because Jim Caldwell would have been the good cop. I don't think Matt Patricia's the bad cop, but certainly a guy, I think you nailed it when you said he's going to tell everybody individually what he expects.
Well, you know, when you talk about cultures, the Patriots, more than anything, is a culture of accountability. Whether you're a coach, a player, a trainer, an equipment guy, you've got to know what's expected of you every day, every hour, and you've got to perform that task. And if you don't, you're not going to be hit very long. I mean, they turn the roster over as much as anybody, but they continue to win because the guys who are here know what's expected of them, and they know they have to perform. And there's a certain amount of pressure with that, but there's also a certain relief with that because all you have to do is go out and do your job. You don't have to worry about what, you know, Devin McCourty at safety doesn't have to worry about Malcolm Butler's doing at cornerback. You know, Malcolm Butler's got to worry about what he's doing. Devin McCourty worries about what he's supposed to do on a play. He doesn't have to worry about what Kyle Van Noy is doing on the edge on the defense. He just has to worry about his job. That's what they teach him. You do what you're supposed to do, and this team will be successful, and they do it better than anyone else, obviously.
No question about it. I know you told me this before, Mike. How many years have you covered the Patriots? When did you start again?
I started on Pete Carroll's last year. So I've been with them for the whole run with Belichick and Brady. This is my 19th year covering the team.
Hey, you mentioned Belichick.
Pretty good timing.
Yeah, very good. I didn't mean to get a little bit of a delay there. My apologies, Mike. Didn't mean to cut you off. Hey, you mentioned Belichick and Brady, and, of course, we were reading last week. Hey, everybody, by the way, you're tuned to ESPN 106.5, the Ticket, home of the Detroit Lions and the Toledo sports leader here as well. But you mentioned Belichick and Brady and Robert Kraft as well. Anything to make out of all this drama that we were reading about last week?
Well, you know, I'm sure there's some truth to it. Look, they've been together for 17 years. They are three of the biggest personalities in the NFL, and they're going to disagree, and they're going to butt heads, and that's to be expected. I mean, if you're at the same place for 17 years, there are going to be things that you don't like and you don't understand. And I would say, sure, Tom Brady is 40 years old. Now, I know he wants to play till he's 45, but I'm sure he sees the end of his career at some point. It's a lot closer than it was. And Jimmy Garoppolo was right here. And I think Garoppolo has proven in San Francisco that he can play in the NFL. So maybe Tom Brady was a little threatened by him. He'll never admit it. And you know, frankly, I'm not sure he was, you know. But there had to be, there's got to be some truth to the fact that these guys don't always get along, because it's human nature. You're going to want, you know, no matter how much you subjugate yourself for the team, you have to have some sort of ego. There's got to be some part of you that, you know, wants to know, okay, if I'm the guy or not. And, you know, I would say it's not as big a deal as it was made out to be, but I'm sure there is some truth to the fact that you know, they don't always agree.
Hey, Mike, the Patriots are a 9-point favorite over Jacksonville on the game on Sunday. And, I mean, do I overthink this? But every time I see a game like that with a team coming from Florida, I know you've had horrible weather in New England. We've had frigid weather, another cold day here in Toledo, single digits most of the day, and snow yesterday. Warm weather teams coming into New England. Tell me a little bit about that. You've seen a ton of it over the years. How big a factor is it, or is it a factor?
It is a factor. I mean, I think the Patriots 43-10 in the last 24 years when the temperature is 34 or lower. I mean, that's pretty impressive. It's somewhere around there. I don't know the exact number, but it's right around that. But it is supposed to be about 45 degrees and sunny on Sunday. So, I mean, it's going to be a nice day in terms of, you know, New England Sundays in the middle of January. So it's not supposed to be as bad as it could be. And I think that will benefit Jacksonville a little bit. But you know, just, you know, coming up here, I mean, this is a hard place to win. There's no question about that. You know, when the Jets came in here for the last game of the regular season, it was 13 degrees out, and Bill Belichick made sure that thermometers were placed all along the Jets sidelines and the walls to make sure they knew how cold it was.
That's great. Yeah, boy, you got to love that. He does not miss a beat on anything. Patriots are 13-3. Jacksonville comes in at 10-6. You know, everybody knows about their ability to put pressure on quarterbacks. One thing I did see today, Mike, is Jacksonville fifth in the league for most point scorers as well. Real quickly, let's break it down here. And if the Patriots are successful on Sunday, what would they have done right? And if Jacksonville walks out of there as a 9-point underdog and they would win it, what would they have done right?
Well, I think for Jacksonville, it's pretty simple. I think they've got to do what they can to take away Rob Gronkowski because he is the machine that makes that offense go. You know, he's the guy. They've got to contain him somehow. And I know Jacksonville's got the number one ranked pass defense in the league, but they do give up a lot of yards to tight end. So it's going to be imperative for them to do that and to get a pass rush on Brady to knock him off his spot, because teams that have been successful against the Patriots do that. They make Brady think twice about, you know, holding the ball, moving around the pocket. If Jacksonville can get some pressure on him, they can keep the game close. The Patriots, I mean, they have to find some way to get the running backs involved, and I think they will. James White, Deion Lewis, and they're supposed to get Rex Burkhead back this week. I would imagine that those three guys are going to be much involved in the offense more than usual, because Jacksonville's cornerbacks are really exceptional. I really like them. They play a lot of pressure man to man, and I think you'll see the running backs taking a much bigger lead role for the Patriots this week, offensively. Defensively, the Patriots gotta contain Fournette. I mean, he's a huge factor in that Jacksonville offense. The Patriots somehow gotta slow him down, and they can't let Bortles get outside. You know, they gotta keep him in the pocket. I think it comes down to that.
Anything I missed, Mike, while I got you on before I let you go?
I think this game's gonna be closer than people expect it to be. Don't sleep on Jacksonville. I know, you know, people look at it and say, oh, you know, they're playing Jacksonville. Big deal. Well, you know what? There's a reason that the Jaguars are here. You know, they went into Pittsburgh last week, and that's a pretty good team that they beat in Pittsburgh on the road in cold, cold conditions. And they've proven that they can win games in a lot of different ways, and that defense is dangerous. They score points all the time. So I think the Patriots win. But I think it's going to be a pretty tight game.
Mike, great hearing your voice. Thank you for taking the time. I know you got a busy schedule. You're covering a lot of different things. Appreciate it. And somewhere down the road, I might call on you again. Great appearance. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Hey, you too, Mike, and anytime. Take care.
That's Mike Lowe. Portland Press has been covering the Patriots for a long, long time. Started the year of the Belichick era. She said, good timing. TAS Electronics sports update right around the corner. Remote car starters. I'll say it again. Remote car starters. Remote car starters. $129 installed. TAS Electronics. What a great time of the year to have them. Should have had one around Christmas time. As I mentioned, never too late. TAS Electronics. Remote car starters. Update. Little sports, little weather, traffic. As always, brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Tonight, Greg Krupa will join us, Detroit News, Detroit Red Wing writer. Andy Delmore, assistant coach of the Walleye. They're coming off a weekend in which they won three consecutive games down at the Huntington Center. Andy Delmore, assistant coach, again at about 6:35 tonight. I just finished a chat with Mike Lowe, Portland Press, Maine. He's been covering the Patriots for a long time. Touched on, well, by all the signs pointing to Matt Patricia, quote-unquote rocket scientist, that will be coaching the Detroit Lions next year. Joining us now, like we do every Wednesday, is the Toledo Blade outdoor editor, Matt Markey is his name. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing fine this evening, and how are you?
Very good. Thanks. Matt's appearance, as always, brought to you by the folks at Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle, where fishing, of course, is their passion. Expert advice is always free. Visit Netcraft. It's over on Briarfield Boulevard, or visit jansnetcraft.com. Well, I read your story about the deer call, and, of course, I... being a good writer and hearing both sides of the stories, you went out and found some folks that thought there should be other options, whether it's sterilization or the one gentleman said, hey, I don't see half as many deers as I used to. I guess the science really is the proof of the pudding there, but you were out and about and talking to some folks on an issue that you'd be, quite frankly, you and I, for the last year and a half, maybe 2 years, been talking about it as well, and again, it appeared in Sunday's paper, another story.
Yeah, I just felt it was necessary to give that side of the debate, you know, a forum or a soapbox. And I think it's pretty clear and has been from my writings and all that I don't agree with them. But I also think, especially in this current climate that we're in, if we don't agree with someone, you know, just to try to shout them down or bury their opinion or completely ignore it, I don't think that's beneficial. So I certainly want to listen to them. I respect their opinion and their right to have their opinion. We just don't agree. And I think we can do that in a civil manner. These folks were, very civil about it and also very passionate and emotional about their point of view. I think that's one of the good things about this country. I hope we preserve is that we can have debate and be passionate on both sides and not end up shooting each other or end up in a brawl or something. We can just go on with the day. And they have a viewpoint that's contrary to the management policy of Metro Parks, and it's contrary to the viewpoint of every biologist that I've interviewed or tracked down during this, researching these stories and all, but it is their point of view. They're taxpayers. They have skin in the game, so to speak. So just felt like, they had the opportunity to be heard.
Well, you know what? The other thing that really stood out in that story was New York City, where, of course, I spent some time there, and out near that Staten Island area every now and then, they've spent $2 million to perform vasectomies at white-tailed bucks. So, I mean, money comes into this as well. I mean, you start talking about, bringing in the guys to, to have a deer call with firearms. I mean, from a financial standpoint, that seems like it'd be the most logical way as well.
It is certainly a lot less expensive than the sterilization because that involves tranquilizing animals, and then it's very labor intensive to have the manpower on hand to move a tranquilized animal. They have to be moved to some kind of set up surgical unit close by, which involves more personnel and more expense, and then you've got veterinarian fees involved where they're performing the actual surgery, whether they're darting does and removing their ovaries, or whether they're darting the bucks and sterilizing them. One factor that, when I talk to the the people that are proponents of this, one factor they don't consider is that there can be some real significant effects when you try to alter Mother Nature. And there's an actual, there's a natural rhythm and a cycle of the way things take place in nature. And each year, the does will go into heat, and then the bucks, will go into the rut. And the mating season, there's a lot of sparring between the bucks. It's all part of, the cycle that their body goes through each year. And once you sterilize these animals and then put them back in the wild, you've really, messed with that scale there. And I don't think they've looked at that. You're putting animals back out there that really aren't part of that natural environment. Now, this takes place a lot of times, with livestock in our herds and so on. The bulls, are sterilized, and you end up with just one bull in the herd. But those animals are an enclosed area. It's much more artificial. They're domesticated to a certain degree. Taking a wild animal and making that kind of drastic alteration and then releasing it back into the wild, I just think that there's a lot of, other factors and circumstances and results of that action that they don't really take into consideration. So I'm not a fan of that on several levels, including it's cost prohibitive, and deer in general are one of those animals that do not do well when tranquilized. And so there'll be probably a 20%, of that group that will not survive.
Matt Markey joins us here on Drive Time. As always, Matt's appearance brought to you by Netcraft. Hey, I saw you talk to Bob Barnhart at Netcraft, and I liked his quote. It's an absolute roll of the dice when you're trying to stock your shelves for ice fishermen this time of the year. I mean, again, you just mentioned Mother Nature on one front, and here's Mother Nature on another front of what they have available. Don't get stuck with a lot of inventory. And lo and behold, Bob told you, and the folks over at Bass Pro as well, it's hard to stock and keep things, on the shelves and your inventory in a correct flowing manner if you can't predict the weather.
That's right, and that's what's unique about the ice fishing, Mike, is that, as I stated in the story, we know for sure there's going to be a walleye run in the river this spring, and there's going to be a lot of fishermen and a lot of demand for that specific tackle. And then we know it will be followed by a white bass run and another group of species-specific tackle. So they can stock those things. They know they're going to sell them every year. They know there's going to be a big demand for the Lake Erie walleye here because we should have a spectacular Lake Erie summer fishing season. Those things are definite. Now, when it comes to ice fishing, they can invest thousands of dollars and stock up in September and October and have all that equipment just sit there. And if we have one of those winters like we had in 14 and 15, maybe we get a bunch of ice and they sell everything and it's bonanza. If we get it the winter like we had the last 2 years, the stuff goes back in the warehouse and they're sitting on all that inventory they've already bought. So It is a roll of dice, and Bob Barnhart and Nick Kraft, I think, made a good gamble this year by stocking up, and he's got a lot of equipment to sell for the ice fishermen. Bass Pro had a certain amount of gear at the time I talked to them. A lot of it sold out. They're kind of scrambling to try to resupply because if we get more sustained cold, we'll have a fairly decent ice fishing season, even though the wind's kind of playing havoc with it right now. We still have guys fishing the Irish Hills and guys fishing East Harbor and the inland lakes and so on. And Lake Erie will be turned back on if we get some more calm winds and ice forming out there. So the guys that supply the gear, they got to just make their best guess and hope that they're right.
in talking to Matt Markey, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. Hey, the last time we talked, we were talking about the future of, you know, walleye fishing and fishing in general in the Great Lakes, specifically Matt Lake Erie. Those numbers, encouraging numbers that you gave me, I mean, does that automatically equate to ice fishing as well?
Well, if you can get out there, yes, those fish will be there, especially when we had a that spell of ice fishing that took place right after the first of the year, because we had that cold weather over the holidays and it made some ice, and there was a lot of ice fishing going on off Catawba and around the Bass Islands. They were catching a lot of those 2014 and 2015 walleye, which would be 16, 17 inches long. If we get, you know, another good run of cold weather and we make a bunch more ice and that kind of takes place again, it'll be predominantly those two classes of fish from 2014 and 2015. But as we get closer to the spawn in spring, those larger fish will move in closer to the reefs and the areas where they traditionally spawn, and we'll start to see more of those bigger fish show up in the ice fishing catch. Historically, the biggest fish of the ice fishing season have been caught in February towards the end of the ice as we get closer to their spawning time. You can find them better because you know where they're going to stage close to those spawning areas.
Good stuff, good information there. Your other story this past week, Matt, I mean, we've all been down this road. It's been a long time, but we had a raccoon in one of our homes. We were living up in Gull Lake in up near Kalamazoo. I was with the team up there, and I don't know this time of the year how it got in, but it still is you know, a subject that has some humor to it. Every time we talk about it, of everybody, well, and I guess you should be petrified running around from this raccoon, but you know, a skunk, the possum, the squirrel, hey, I don't want to say they're only human. That makes no sense. But they're looking for places to stay warm as well.
They are. And every year, usually in December, I'll get a couple calls from people who are just in a total panic over it because they've got a wild animal either trying to get into the house, into the crawl space or the basement or, you know, come through the chimney, or they've already got one inside and they're not sure what to do. And the best thing to do is to call a professional, because these animals can bite, and some of them can carry you know, nasty diseases. But just on, you know, on the safety side, let somebody handle it that, you know, knows how to handle them every day and can safely remove that animal, because they're looking for warmth, they're looking for food, and you know, our homes, you know, provide those places, and they don't know the difference between an occupied dwelling and an unoccupied one. They're just looking for a place to get out of the elements. And it's usually raccoons. It'll also be possums at some point. You'll have squirrels do the same thing, and occasionally a skunk. And it's just, you know, when we live around nature and wildlife, there are going to be those conflicts. And it makes for a good piece of family folklore down the line, but at the time that it happens, usually there's a lot of screaming and running around and so on, because that is a wild animal, and if they're inside the house, they don't seem to do especially well when they, you know, consider themselves cornered. So play it safe and call one of the experts, let them handle it.
Matt Markey, stories normally appear Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday, Toledo Blade. He is the Toledo Blade outdoor editor. Where are you at this week? What are you working on, Matt?
Working on a couple things, Mike. For Sunday, I'm going to have a species by species guide for the winter bird feeders. I've had some inquiries about that, and then that's another thing that happens every year. You know, what do we put out? What kind of seed? When do we put it out? You know, what do we use for certain species? And so I'm going to have a photo guide with the different species, and then list what kind of seed and feeds they prefer, and, you know, just some basic advice on how to feed the birds in the winter and the best way to do it and so on. That'll be for Sunday. And then long term, we're working on a full page look at the Hellbender project out at Tenda. They got involved in that a couple years ago. It's
right.
Gone extremely well, and they're playing a big role in helping that endangered species kind of strengthen its foothold here in Ohio. So that'll be coming up.
Good stuff, Matt. Great hearing your voice. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Mike.
Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. This is Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. ESPN 106.5, the ticket, coming to you from the Loft Restaurant tonight, high above the TAS Electronics rink number one. Started out with Mike Lowe, talked a little Patriots, a little Jacksonville football, new Lions coach, Matt Patricia as well. And, again, talk football at 5:15. Mr. Mark, he joins us every Wednesday at 5:35. 6:15 tonight, Greg Krupa, Detroit News. He is the Detroit Red Wing beat writer. See what the Red Wings are up to. They got beat 4-2 by Dallas last night. Big win in Chicago on Sunday after a 4-1 loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll find out what's going on with the Wings. I know Ken Holland, the complete hockey operations staff, is in Las Vegas right now holding their meetings. What are they going to do about free agents? What are they going to do about the draft? Krupa coming up at 5:15. Then at 6:35 tonight, the Toledo Walleye assistant coach Andy Delmore will join us. The Walleye coming off a huge weekend, and they have another big one coming up, and a bizarre ECHL schedule twist on the road in Kansas City on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. Back to close it out, this is Drive Time, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. My name's Mike Miller, coming to you from the Loft Restaurant.